Okay, so the next part of this whole suppleness that we are going to work on this week is going to involve having that flexion through your horse's head and neck, okay? So it's actually through the pole is where you want the flexion, but a lot of people get a little bit confused about that. So when we say through the head and neck, it tends to be a little bit easier to understand and I suppose easier to visualize when you're on your horse. So I need you in walk to set yourself up down the center line. And once you are on the center line straight, by the way, I want you to prepare to halt and you're going to come back down to halt, okay? So we're going to halt on the center line. I don't want you halfway down the center line now when you halt. I want you somewhere near just the turn onto the center line, okay? So you're going to ask for the halt. Now, when you're in the halt there, I want you to first and foremost make sure that your horse is square. Remember, the flexion will only work if you know where you're measuring the flexion from, okay? So like anything, suppleness is, it's all relative to what you are asking or how you're asking for the bend or the movement or the loosey-goosiness, okay? So when we want to work on flexion with our horses, a lot of people forget that it has to start off at straight, okay? So your horse has to be, first of all, dead-centered, lovely and straight, all the way through his back, right the way from basically the dock to the pole, so from tail to the head to the ears. You want him lovely and straight. You want that his hind legs are lovely and square, his front legs are lovely and square, he's absolutely straight as a die there, standing there. And what I want you to do now is ask for a slight flexion through the head and neck. So this is where people tend to get confused. They ask for flexion, or they think they're asking for flexion, and meanwhile they're actually asking for bend. So what's the difference? Well, if you're asking for flexion, you'll see that the shoulders and at the back end don't deviate off the straightness. They are straight. They are set to straight, okay? So the flexion only comes through. It's almost like if you could imagine yourself sitting up there, you're on your horse right now, and you're just going to flex through your head and neck. Your shoulders, your the rest of you does not move, only the head and neck. Now, I want you to notice that when you do that, can you feel that it is only the top two vertebrae that are doing the job? Well, your horse, we want that as well, okay? So we want him just to have a very slight flexion there through the, it's basically just behind the ears, okay? It's there at the poles, just behind the poles, there behind the ears. We're asking him for a little bit of flexion. So how would it look? Well, the other mistake people tend to make is that it begins to look like their horse has turned their head funny, okay? So what'll happen is, you know when a dog hears a funny noise and he turns the bottom of his, like his nose turns one way and his ears turn the other? We don't want that. What we're looking for here is that your horse's face, can we say, is going to remain vertical and that flexion is just going to come through from there, okay? So his muzzle is not going to just turn or rotate away from the ears, if you know what I mean. It is a flexion through the actual whole face. So his face is going to remain the way it was, lovely and vertical, and the flexion is then going to come. Now, how are you going to do this? Well, the first thing you need to understand is that you have to keep your horse straight. Okay, so this is where the straightness comes in. You're probably thinking, but sure, that's at the end of the training scale. And this is why I do not believe that every piece must be taken individually. It is a holistic approach. It is a holistic scale. It all has to be worked on together. You can't just say, I'm only going to work on straightness when I get to the end. Because it's not going to work. You have to all the time have, like, everything you're doing has to have that in mind. Everything you're doing has to have connection in mind. Everything you're doing has to have impulsion in mind. The straightness, the connection, the impulsion. Okay, I would say, yeah, maybe except for collection, that's different. That is at the top of it or the end of it. But the others have to be worked on all the time. They mightn't be right, and there might only be a very slight amount of it being worked on, but as you are working through this, and even last week when we were going through the rhythm, as you were doing that, you were doing it with an eye or with a view to the end goal, okay, the end product. And this is where we're going with this now. So you want this straightness, you want your legs on, and then what we're going to do now is just ask, so you're using your legs basically to keep the shoulders and to keep the hind end and everything else lovely and straight and square, and then you're just going to ask for the flexion through the wrist. Now, There's a few ways you can do this. I am a big believer in having this straight line from your elbow down through your hand to the horse's mouth, okay? Now, sometimes you'll see that people ask for this by curling their hand. If you could imagine their hand, as your hand is sitting there now, let's take your left hand, for example, it would curl towards your body, okay? So I just find when that happens, you lose that straight line. And I found that when that straight line is lost, the horses tend to become heavy on the hand. And I think when we're talking about flexion and suppleness, it's loosey-goosiness. Heaviness does not play a part here. So I also think that when you do that, you break the connection. And again, looking at later down in the training scale, your contact and connection would be the next key to this. And well, I feel that twisting your hand is going to, or clawing, can we say? One of my riders here does it. So we say she's clawing. When we claw our wrist or our hands, I just don't really agree with that being the right way to go. Some people will tell you to do it that way, but my personal feeling is you're actually opening up a whole can of worms later on. Okay, so I'm going to advise you not to do that. What I would advise you to do is you want to, it's almost like a twist through your wrist. So as the inside of your wrist comes up on top. And as you do it, yes, you can definitely have a little bit of a play, a little bit of a talk, a conversation using your ring finger. You can definitely say, excuse me, hello there. A little bit of a vibration if you want down the ring finger. But do it from a point where you're using the wrist and you're twisting. So as the top of your hand is going to go underneath, basically where your nails are, where your thumb is on top normally when you ride and your nails are on the side, you're almost bringing your nails around to, I wouldn't say they're completely on top, I don't think you should twist it right the way over, but definitely a 45 degree angle is where we'd be looking there. You'd kind of twist it around and that's it. And you can play with that. You can maybe do a twist, a half twist, come back, a little bit of a ring finger, a little bit of a chit chat, hello, that's it. Every horse is going to be different, and just like you have to learn to balance your aids through transitions, or even just ask your horse if you have said you walk on now, you're going to have to balance the aids to do that. There's also a feel that has to go with balancing the aids to do this. But the end result will be that your horse will flex his head to the point where you might be able to see just the inside of his eye. Okay, so if we're using our left hand again here, you might be able to see just the corner of his left eye. Okay, that's all you want. A little bit of a flexion there. Okay, now I want you to bring him back to straight again. Of course, you're going to use your reins here to bring them back straight. And again, you want to now flex to the opposite side, okay? A little bit of a flexion there through the right. You might find that your horses can easily flex one way and finds it quite stiff to flex the other. Heaven knows we all have our bad side and our good side. Your horse is no different. So you might find there's a little bit of just tension there. You might find you have to ask a little bit more. You might find that one side, as you're asking, he has a tendency to try and step across into it. And what you'll find is the shoulders want to move. And this is where you need to block that. Sometimes you can use your rein to block it. You can kind of, it's almost like a yield there, using your rein, a neck rein. You can bring your rein over and say, no. But I find that if you could try and maybe use your seat and your legs to control that end of things, and then using your hands just for the little bit of flexion there. So once we can get flexion through, and the other thing is, this is like an inch. That's all we're looking for. This is tiny, 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 tiny. It's not bend. It's flexion. It's the indicator. It's not what bends the horse. It's the thing to indicate the bend. Okay? That is, you have to get this as well. This is important. So once we have this, I want you to prepare to walk. So you should have a lovely connection there now from doing that. And when you're ready, remember using your seat and asking for the walk. Lovely. Okay, now once we're in the walk, as we walk down the center line, this is why I got you to hold where I got you to hold, we're going to start flexing one to the other. So let's do three strides, flex left, two, three, back straight, two strides, and flex right, two, three, and back straight, and two strides, and flex left, two, three, back straight. Okay, we're going to track to the right. So I want you to track right. And I want you, as you round the corner there, you're going to come back along the long diagonal. I don't want you by the fence. So this is why I'm trying to get you off the fence or off the rail. So back across the long diagonal. And again, ask for straight. Get straight, okay? Set yourself up for success. Find straight, find center. And then when you're ready, flex to the right. Two, three and back straight, and two and flex to the left. Two, three, back straight. Okay, two, that's it, and flex again to the right. Okay, now what you'll start to find is initially your horse's shoulders, it's tempting. They probably wanted to wander off, okay? As you do it more, you're going to find the balance. Your horse is going to find the balance. He's going to start understanding more, ooh, okay, this is what she's looking for here. This is also something you can do on the ground, by the way. You can do this with groundwork. But it's something, it's that little bit of flexion, little bit of flexion, little bit of flexion, little bit of flexion. And it is amazing, that tiny amount of flexion, okay, influences the whole body on your horse. When you're asking for a canter transition, that's the flexion. When you're asking for leg yielding or anything like that, that's the flexion. That's it. It's that small little bit of a flexion. It's an indicator. It says, excuse me, pay attention. This is what I'm asking for now. And that's it. It's like the indicator on your car, the lights in your car, the flickers, the things that tell people, the other motorists, I'm going to take a right or a left now. That is it. That's what the flexion is. But not only that, it's that lovely looseness through the pole. And this is where a lot of horses get blocked with, particularly when we get to next week and we start talking about connection and contact. It is the pole area that it gets stuck. Remember I said yesterday that, or Monday, that flow of energy through the horse, okay? You have to make sure that there's no sticky parts, that you are getting rid of all the sticky parts, all the blocks, all the dams that are going to show up, all the obstacles, they're being removed so that flow can flow through. And this one, this particular one here with this, it seems like such a tiny movement, but it is massive when it comes to actually building on it and what we'll be doing next week as well, okay? Now, I want to leave you doing this, keep flexing. The reason I told you to get off the track is sometimes when the horses are on the track and on the rail, it is so much easier for them to keep flexing on the rail, basically, and they're not actually truly flexing. The other thing that I find is the shoulders aren't really listening to you, they're listening to the rail and all these other influences. That's why I wanted you to do it off the rail. So if you want to, just keep doing basically a figure of eight across the long diagonals, that funny kind of a hourglass kind of a figure across the long diagonals if you wanted to do that, or just up and down the center lines, up to yourself. You could also maybe use the quarter lines, just keep going up and down the quarter lines. Now, you can then pick up trot, and this is where I would also then add in, while I'm running out of time here, but add in as well that you can pick up trot, and as you're working through the exercise we spoke about yesterday, you can start adding a little bit of flexion in there as well. But what I would do is I would start, first of all, working with the trot, just in trot, okay? Don't add transitions to the mix while you're working on the flexion. And then once you've got that, then begin to add your transitions in as well. And then you've got this lovely, now you're starting to do a little bit of sideways, but also this lovely across the back as well, which is going to help your horse. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. Have a good one. Chat to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.